Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here. Beautiful goal. Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez. A quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for Monday, the 22nd of August. I'm Russell Hargreaves. Coming up over the next few minutes, we're going to be hearing from the Arsenal and France international striker Olivier Giroud in our exclusive interview. Michael McMullen, Irish broadcaster of great renown, is our Arsenal insider. And as ever, we're back to the chalkboard with our own Adrian Clarke as we build up to the big showdown against Watford this coming weekend. As ever, though, we kick off with the weekend review. Of course, the teams that finished first and second in the Premier League last season went head-to-head, both looking for their first wins of the new season. That was as Arsenal made the trip to Leicester City. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain coming closest to opening the scoring.
Here is Bellerin on the halfway line, looking to come forward infield for Xhaka. Xhaka immediately on for Nacho Monreal. Now it's with Oxlade-Chamberlain over on the left-hand side. Oxlade-Chamberlain coming forward, angle of the box, two Leicester players to beat. It's still Oxlade-Chamberlain still going, just get the shot away, just wide. Decent effort from the Ox.
The little Spanish magician Santi Cazorla was recalled to Arsene Wenger's starting 11 and he forced Kasper Schmeichel into action next.
In it comes the free kick, left-hand side, good delivery, might just pop in here. It's Kasper Schmeichel that will turn it away. Well, similar, I guess, to Ross Barkley's goal for Everton against Tottenham last weekend. That nearly bounced in without a touch from another player, I think.
So Arsenal coming oh so close on several occasions, but it was Leicester that almost nicked it in the second period, with Peter Cech saving brilliantly from Riyad Mahrez.
This is Mahrez, he's got Vardy with him, it's still Mahrez, edge of the penalty area, still Riyad Mahrez, one step over, goes for glory, great stop, might fall for Musa, looks to knock it back for Ochoa, wrong decision, Arsenal clear, what a let-off for the Gunners.
On the balance of play, a draw was probably a fair result, and Theo Walcott was quick to draw on the positives when speaking post-match.
You know, yeah, positives tonight. Clean sheet is always handy. You know, obviously we would like to finish off teams, but like I say, it was a difficult game. Leicester, they know how to defend very well. They like to put, you know, pretty much the whole team behind the ball, and it's difficult to break them down. But we had chances, but, you know, sadly we failed to do that. But like I say, we need to just obviously take the positives out of this, and there's plenty of it.
In addition to Theo there, Arsene Wenger also faced the media and the boss full of praise for summer signing Rob Holding.
I believe he had an outstanding performance for a young boy who has never played in the Premier League. I played against top strikers today. And so I can only reiterate, I'm happy to speak about him because it's good for English football that a young boy gets a chance in a big club in England. Shows that he will be a quality player.
Yeah, Rob Holding looking like a very promising signing at the back from Bolton over the course of the summer. Now, Nigel Winterburn, the Gunners' great, was in the Matchday Show studio. Here are his thoughts on that draw against the Foxes.
I just think both ends of the pitch, attacking-wise, just that final pass, both teams defended well as well. It just didn't click for both teams going forward, which, you know, and it was really weird in the second half because the game spread out, but there seemed to be less chances apart from the last, 10 minutes when both teams went for it a little bit. It was wide open, but it still wasn't any real clear-cut chances.
One key man watching from the bench for that game, Olivier Giroud, should be fit enough to play a big part in the Gunners' next game against Watford, and we'll speak to Olivier next. As promised, here is the Arsenal and French international striker Olivier Giroud talking about his experiences at the European Championships on home soil. Olivier talking to Arsenal Media's Carl Finocchiaro.
Olivier, welcome back to work, mate. Looking back at the Euros, do you think the tournament and France's performance had a bit of a healing effect on the country, considering all the drama that has been going on there?
Yes, definitely, because people in the world, especially, and in France, are suffering from the economic situation of the country and the social as well conjuncture. You understand?
Conjecture.
And that's why we really wanted to do a good tournament to give them pleasure and have the smile, to see the smile back. So I think they leave a very good Euros during 1 month and a half. A lot of people told me that it was an amazing tournament when I was in holidays, and a lot of person congrats myself and said bravo and thank you. So I've been touched by this world, and we are very proud of what we achieved during this Euro. But even if we will still have, a little scar tissue in our hearts because we didn't win it. But it was an amazing moment for me.
It didn't quite end how you wanted, but it pretty much started perfectly for you. You're walking out in France, national anthem, tournament on home soil, and you score the opening goal. What is that like? Take us inside your mind, because you must have been going crazy.
It was like a dream, you know, when you're young and when you want to play football. The first thing is you want to wear this blue shirt and to represent as much as you can the country. So when you have the opportunity to give pleasure to more than 65 million people, it's basically an honor for me and for the team. So we were aware about that, and we tried to give our best. And the different memories I have from these Euros will be in my head until the end of my life. And I have so many pictures in my head, but this first goal was an amazing moment for me. A lot of goosebumps when I score, and there is the game against Iceland. We took it from the front foot, and we did very well. We won 5-2, and I scored a brace. So I was very, very pleased to have a great tournament like that.
I spent my tournament sitting on the couch, and that continues with the Olympics. Are you on your couch watching the Olympics? And mate, are you enjoying watching it? Do you watch the Olympics? And is there sports in particular you're really good to?
Yeah, I have my friends Nikola Karabatic, who plays handball for the national team. They are in a semi-final now. So they are doing very well. I've seen that cycles on piste we didn't do so well, but you British are very good.
Hey, I'm Australian. Everyone else is British. We're doing bad. I got to watch the English win constantly as well. Don't worry.
I'm still watching the athletes, and I've seen our defeat on basketball against Spain. But Spain is a very good team. I'm watching a little bit of football, but football for Olympic Games is a little bit, for the players who play, it's huge, but for us European, Euros Cup counts more.
Yeah, mate. Is there a little bit of you that watches the medal presentations and just thinks, "Oh man, I'd love to be out there running against Usain Bolt or doing stuff like that"? Do you get that in your head when you watch it?
I just forgot Teddy Riner, the
judo.
He's a man. Yeah. Judo from judo is amazing.
He's a big guy.
He didn't lose one match since 6 years, I think, and he's 8-time world champion, 2 times Olympic champion. So. Yeah, he's a man. yeah, obviously, I would love to get a medal, maybe a gold one. I got one in the final, the Euros Cup, but I take it off straight away because, yeah, it was a tough moment. But yeah, obviously, when you can. Seeing the Marseillaise on the podium, you know, it might be amazing, maybe 2-3 times when you score a goal in the Euros Cup. So they can be proud of them. They represent as much as they can the country. And yeah, I think every single Frenchie is proud of them.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll be lifting a Premier League medal at the end of the season. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you, mate.
And it's Adams, put through by Bolt. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 27th of August 1997, Dennis Bergkamp scored the greatest hat-trick in Premier League history against Leicester at Filbert Street.
Arsenal's corner. Bergkamp! Well, there aren't many players in the game who can do this and make it look so ridiculously simple. Leicester paying the price for neglecting Bergkamp on the edge of the area. A pinpoint shot, 1-0 to Arsenal. Vieira. And there's a break on here with Parla playing a prominent part. Vieira supporting. Bergkamp, it's opened up for him. Off the goalkeeper and in. Well, Leicester were caught, overcommitted, and Bergkamp, the only possible saviour, was Casey Keller, and he couldn't keep it out of his net. Vieira. Well, both sets of supporters not knowing quite what to feel. Still life in the game, according to the referee, and Bergkamp, certainly life in him! A truly high-class hat-trick from Dennis Bergkamp. The first touch was magnificent, more to come, and again, unerring in front of goal.
Some scintillating goals there from the great flying Dutchman. Here are Dennis's own memories of that very, very special match.
That game against Leicester was a special one. Yeah, why? When I look back, when I think about it, it's a typical English game, you know, with the crowd close on the pitch. At that time, I really started to feel really comfortable in the team. I felt that physically that you could make a difference every game. You could outrun players, you could just be much better than other players. So I had the confidence to do well and, yeah, just took chances, which I always did in my career. 3 goals, hat-trick. I was very pleased, but we didn't win the game. So it was always mixed emotions, I think.
Of course, Bergkamp went on to become an invincible and retired from the game, having played 423 games for Arsenal, scoring 120 goals in the process.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, our Arsenal insider on the podcast this week is a man whose dulcet tones have been heard across the Emerald Isle for many years as the host of Premier League Live, Ireland's premier radio Saturday afternoon football show, and of course now starring on Irish television as well. Michael McMullen is back with us. Michael, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Russ. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you, my friend. And we'll just start with what we've just been listening to, which is that incredible Dennis Bergkamp hat-trick, what, 1997? So the best part of 20 years ago, 19 mm-hmm. years ago, almost to the day.
Yeah, I remember it so clearly. and the really frustrating thing about it, of course, was despite Bergkamp's amazing display, we didn't even win the match because it finished in a 3-0 draw. And that was actually very similar to a lot of the first half of that season, because I felt we were sort of starting to play quite well. That team was coming together. Bergkamp was in his third season at the time, and Vieira was in his second season. Overmars had just arrived. And the fact that we didn't win that match, I think, in a sense, summed up a lot of the early part of that season, because although we were making progress, it wasn't quite reflected in our results in the league table. As we know, of course, towards the end of that season, everything started to click. We went on that amazing run at the end of it. And, you know, a league title that we looked to be out of contention for, we ended up winning with two matches to spare. But, that was Bergkamp's greatest season, wasn't it? I don't have any doubt about that. And, the combination of him and Overmars, the two Dutch stars, it really was the start of a wonderful time for Arsenal. And I can't believe when you say they're 19 years ago. It just seems incredible to think it's that long ago. And I seem to remember one of the goals was actually very reminiscent of the goal with which Bergkamp effectively finished his season, scoring a very similar one for the Dutch in the World Cup as they went on to the semi-finals. So great memories of a great time.
So that was the formative period of that Arsenal squad, Michael, that, as you say, then peaked and excelled quite brilliantly not too long after. I fast forward on to this season and the current era. Do you see any signs of a similar ilk, or are you a little concerned at the moment that this squad needs strengthening and needs realigning just a little to maybe ever fulfil that kind of potential?
Well, it's funny again. I mean, I don't think you really could compare the current squad to the squad back then that we had in 97, 98. But it's been frustrating again because we haven't won either of the first two matches, 1 point out of six. I don't feel that, you know, that we played that badly. I think against Liverpool, on most days we would have won that game because we played pretty well, I thought, in the first half. Liverpool then just had the most amazing spell. Then I thought after the 4-1, we actually played pretty well after that and came back into the game well. And then against Leicester at the weekend, I thought we were definitely the better side. But again, just couldn't make it count, didn't really create that many chances. I thought when the changes were made late in the game, particularly when Ozil came on, that we looked a significantly better side. So I definitely think there'll be a lot of improvement. But of course, it's already getting to the stage where we're falling into a bit of a deficit, 5 points behind now. And suddenly now you're going into the Watford match, the side that knocked us out of the FA Cup last season, don't forget, under a fair amount of pressure because, given that you've got City, United and Chelsea and Hull all on 6 points, chances are you think at least one of them is going to be on 9 points, if not more than one of them, come the end of the weekend. If we don't win this game, we're looking at being 7, maybe 8 points off the lead, and it's still only August, which is quite a frustrating thing. In terms of the whole strengthening thing, I think the way Wenger's been treated by certain sections of the crowd in the early weeks of the season has been absolutely ridiculous. This is a side that finished second last season, don't forget, so he must be doing something right. And yes, it was a great chance to win the title, but still finished above United, above Chelsea, above City, above Liverpool, above Tottenham. Still finished ahead of all of those teams. So there's clearly not that much wrong with his.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Recruitment policy. You would like to see another couple of extra bodies come in, but as Arsene always says, they have to be the right players, and hopefully something will happen over the remaining days of the transfer window. But frustrating start to the season on the field, there's no denying that.
Just on those signings quickly, Michael, obviously Skodra Mustafi has been very heavily linked as a new player at the back, whether it's him or another experienced quality centre-half, I presume there, and maybe more of another potential out-and-out target man to supplement the ranks there. Would they be the two areas that you would say?
Oh, yeah, I don't have any doubt about that. I think absolutely you've called it right there. I think hopefully Mustafi's going to happen in the next few days. I think it'd be a very good signing. I think, as Wenger said, Rob Holding, I thought, was starting to acquit himself quite well in the weekend match. But, you know, you mentioned in your description there about, you know, experienced centre-halves. And, yes, I mean, there's no denying Holding is lacking in a certain amount of experience. So it would be fantastic to see that coming in. We definitely have that need. In terms of up front, I mean, the problem is there are so few players out there who, you know, fulfil, I think, the requirements of what Arsenal are hoping for. Up front, and you know, players like that are so precious now. The players who have the clubs who have them are going to be desperate to hold on to them. So you know, it is frustrating, but you know, there's just a lack of available talent out there at the moment. And I mean, even the centre back position as well is a difficult one. So if Mustafi did come in, I think Wenger would have done pretty well. And I was really disappointed to see, I think there was one banner that said enough is enough, time to go, at the end of the Leicester match. Well, you know, enough of what? I mean, enough of being up there as one of the top clubs every season. Yes, we've not won the title in some time, but, you know, it's a lot harder than I think people realise. And, you know, the fact that when we got ourselves into that position of being the top side back in the early to mid-2000s, suddenly then had all these other sides who had vast amounts of money to spend, and that changed the whole game. So I'm very disappointed, but unfortunately not greatly surprised to see some of the stuff that's been said about Wenger in the early weeks of the season. But at the same time, I think, you know, you would like to see the squad being strengthened just a bit. But same old problem, isn't it? We're only into the season. We've already got a pile-up of injuries again. And, you know, that more than anything else is something that, you know, you would like to address. The only question is, how do you do it? Is it just a coincidence we keep getting these injury pile-ups? I'm sure Arsene has looked into it in a more scientific way. But if he has, Russ, he hasn't come up with an answer to it yet.
So we look, if we can, Michael, at that midfield area, funnily enough, which is one that has been a problem for, clearly. Obviously, we've seen Granit Xhaka come in, and it'll take him a little while probably to get fully up to speed and find his feet in an Arsenal shirt and in the Premier League with its style and pace of play. But if you were to look at how you would handle your two potentially in central midfield and the attacking mobile three in front behind the front man, how would you play it with what Arsenal's got at his disposal at the moment?
It's very difficult because I think what you're seeing, I think we've almost got too many good midfielders now, you know? And I mean, you look at Elneny, who came in last season, I thought he was really good. But, you know, now you've got Xhaka coming in there, so there's more competition for places. You know, you've got Ramsey to come back in. You've got players, you know, it's not as if you've got defensive and midfield, defensive and more attacking midfield players at Arsenal, you know, across the board. It seems, you know, there's some players who can play in both of those roles.
Ramsey and Cathola, because I love when Santi plays deep. They're two very clear examples, and possibly even Wilshere, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, Wilshere, I mean, how can you plan anything around Wilshere? Because, and this isn't a criticism of him, he just keeps on getting injured. I definitely want to see more from Cazorla this season. I know last season was obviously just ruined for him by injury, but him returning to his sort of pre-injury form will be a key factor this season. One thing I would say is, I was really surprised Ozil didn't start the game at the weekend, because I thought when he came on, I thought he did really well. So I think Ozil needs to be in there all the time. I'd like to see Ramsey in there in the midfield as well, you know, on getting back to the sort of form he was in maybe three seasons ago. And, you know, it's a bit surprising, I thought, bringing in Xhaka for all that money and then not starting him in the first game of the season. So let's give him a run as well. I think, if anything, that is the difficulty for Wenger, is that he has so many quality midfield options. And it's just a matter of juggling them. But I think most of the season, if past seasons are anything to go by, the problem will be solved for him, because normally he'll go into most matches with about three or four of those midfielders out injured.
Okay. Well, Michael, let's finish with a few quick-fire questions, as we like to do on this, our second season of the Arsenal Weekly podcast. So, number one, over or under Theo Walcott to score 18 goals in all competitions this season?
I'd love to say over, but I think I have to say under.
Watford away, which we'll talk about in a moment on the chalkboard with Adrian Clarke in more detail, but your score prediction, please.
I think we will win 2-1.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Scary. All right, which fringe player is going to properly break through this season? I guess kind of Iwobi style like last season.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Iwobi, but I suppose he's beyond the fringe stage. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say Holding. Because, you know, I think he's a young player of potential. So I'm going to go for him.
Worryingly, again, I don't disagree. Who's impressed you most in Arsenal's opening couple of games? And I appreciate your point on Holding, and I agree, having seen the Liverpool game and having commentated pre-season as well, where he came in and looked good. So I think we like the look of him as one for the future. What about from the very nucleus of the first team squad? Who do you think has started the season well?
Koscielny played well at the weekend, you know, which made it more frustrating that he hadn't been in. So I'd say him, but like I keep saying, I think Ozil looked sharp when he came on at the weekend too.
Koscielny, it's an interesting shout. And we talked about Mustafi, but as I let you go, if you could make one signing, and I guess a realistic signing, who would it be between now and the end of August?
Well, one realistic signing. I was hoping it was going to be Ashley Williams, actually, but that's someone I've been hoping for years, but that's obviously not going to happen now because he's gone elsewhere. One realistic signing... I don't know. I suppose, the Mahrez thing is gone as well, I guess. So I'll say Mustafi because I think he's a good, reasonably experienced player. And I think that's what we need in central defence. So I'll say Mustafi and, I might as well, for once in my life, make a wish that might actually happen to come true.
I see Lacazette's been banging in the goals at the start of the Ligue 1 season, but that one's not looking, again, particularly
likely. No, he'd be fantastic. But they just seem so determined to hold on to him in France. So, unfortunately, I don't see that happening. But I have a lot of faith in Giroud. I think he had a reasonably good season last season. He was good at the Euros. Just like to see him score more goals in the key matches against the big teams. And if he does that, then I don't think we need to get a new striker in.
The host of Premier League Live on Ireland for many a year and, of course, now part of the TV3 network and beyond. That is Michael McMullen, our Arsenal insider, joining us from the Emerald Isle. Michael, appreciate your time here on the show, my friend.
Anytime, Ross. All the best.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clarke.
Well, this week's question on the chalkboard, which formation would best suit the attributes of Arsenal's current first team squad? Tricky question, and one that we're going to put to our resident expert and chief tactician, Adrian Clarke, who's back, of course, for his chalkboard slot. Clarkey, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, we're off the mark, aren't we, Arsenal? We'd like 3 points against Leicester, but we're off and running.
Exactly. So, that question then. What do you think is the best formation to get the best out of what's available for us?
What are we talking as of today with Aaron Ramsey injured? Let's do that, shall we?
Yeah. Let's talk about it with the Watford game in mind.
Yeah, look, first things first, I don't believe Arsene Wenger will change the system radically. He's played around with 4-1-4-1 or 4-2-3-1, and I think that is a system, or those two systems are the favourites. I don't imagine anything radical to change. An alternative that I would propose would be a diamond midfield or... a 4-3-2-1. So you could go 4-1-2-1-2, which is a four.
Quite narrow.
It's a 4-4-2 diamond, but with our fullbacks naturally flying forward, providing the width. That is something we could do, and it would make us exceptionally strong down the middle. Now, personnel-wise, who would you be looking at? You'd be looking probably, I would say, at Francis Coquelin still to be sitting in the heart of the midfield. I'm talking with the fit players available. And at the moment, potentially Granit Xhaka and Santi Cazorla either side. So that's a midfield three with Ozil in front.
Yep.
And then you've got a roaming forward in Alexis, who would go here, there, and everywhere to the left, to the right, and Olivier Giroud up top. Now the width comes from the fullbacks. It comes from Alexis moving to the channels, and also Mesut Ozil. You got to remember when he very rarely touches the ball in the centre of the pitch. He often just floats to the flanks where he can wreak havoc. So that is a potential system. You could tweak it by going four at the back, three in midfield, a flat three. You could maybe take out Coquelin and go with Xhaka, Jack Wilshere, and Santi Cazorla or Aaron Ramsey as a dynamic midfield three, with Ozil and Sanchez, the two, behind Olivier Giroud. So those two have got a slightly freer role to just peel off and go wide when they want, but they're not starting out wide in those positions. So they're the alternatives for me, and I think that they are worth looking at, to be perfectly honest. But the manager is stuck with the current system for so long that you don't expect a radical change.
Without getting too geeky and technical, we've seen, haven't we, one or two of the new infusion of managers in the Premier League this season, Adrian, sometimes be very mobile and fluid, where one of the defensive midfielders, once the fullbacks have bombed on, actually slots back into what becomes a back three just for a few minutes or moments of the game, and then seamlessly transitions back again. Is that an option?
We're seeing that at Manchester City, and I think that other teams will emulate that for sure. It's who is the right guy to do that for Arsenal. I think it could be Granit Xhaka, actually, because it's somebody that's got good long-range passing. So you're going to drop in between the centre-halves, pick the ball up deep and prompt from those positions with the full-backs flying forward.
And who's a physical presence
He's physically strong, yeah. We just haven't seen enough of Granit Xhaka yet to know whether he's mobile enough to be a sole holding midfield player. I think he's got the physicality. I think he's got the passing range. Has he got the mobility that Coquelin has got or Elneny has got to shift across around the pitch to help break up play? I think that's the question mark on him at the moment. So I would fit him in as part of a three if we're talking about changing systems.
OK, well, that's a little intriguing way to begin our look ahead to the match against the Hornets. So a resolute defence, increasingly so, is going to be a strength, isn't it? What do you see across the board in terms of their strongest areas and also what their threats are?
Yeah, their threats, I think, are clear in terms of Deeney and Ighalo, the main goal scorers. They haven't obviously started the season brilliantly. Etienne Capoue is looking lively.
Two goals?
Yeah.
Hadn't scored all last season.
Amazing. Well, he's a powerful player. And if he uses that frame of his and that athleticism to good effect, he can score goals. I would say that Watford's greatest strength in this game is their new system. And that could also be a weakness. I say it's a strength because it's something Arsenal don't encounter every week, three at the back. So, and with Arsenal playing a lone striker, that concerns me a little bit, because I don't want Olivier Giroud swallowed up by three centre-halves. So it's vital that Arsenal's attacking midfield players join in and the wide men come and make up a front three that occupy the Watford back three. If it turns into that kind of game, I think it'll be OK. But with the wing-backs, that is something different for Arsenal to face, and it could provide unusual headaches for them.
Yeah, I covered their first game, actually, against Southampton a couple of weekends ago, Clarke, and obviously having got ahead with Capoue, real net buster, which was great. I must admit, I didn't feel they offered a huge amount in the rest of that game, and Southampton could easily and probably should have won it. And I think if you take the game to them and boss them and put them on the back foot, I don't know if they have that much to then wrestle back the initiative.
I agree. I very much think this is a game that Arsenal need to be on the front foot for. The wing-backs were very attack-minded at the weekend against Chelsea. They took the initiative and pinned Chelsea back and nullified them in the wide areas. And they will try and do that to Arsenal. So that is a key area to watch out for. You've got Amrabat and Holabas on the right and left. And they'll be lively. The job for Arsenal is to make sure that they're playing inside their own half.
In a sentence, Adrian Clarke, how do you beat Watford?
I think you beat Watford by stretching those three centre-halves. They all want to play down the middle, so we want to be getting balls. We want to be turning Watford and getting the ball into the channels, in behind those wing-backs I was talking about. Get into those areas, drag the centre-backs out of their comfort zone. We can and should wreak havoc. And I expect us to gain our first 3 points of the season in this match.
Ah, the door opens. In comes the producer of the Arsenal Weekly podcast, Liam Roberts. Liam, Hello.
Yes, today I have all the answers for you. I know you've been waiting all week for last week's results and to be set this week's prediction.
Yes.
So last week I asked you who would be the first Arsenal player to touch the ball in the Leicester game. So just remind us who you guys went for.
I said that Arsenal would have the kickoff and that it would be a recalled Santi Cazorla, which, given the fact he didn't actually do it, isn't ideal. But there you go.
Yeah, I picked Hector Bellerin in because I thought Leicester would have the kickoff and they'd hoof the ball his way. But I'm pretty sure, thinking back to the game, that neither of those things happened.
No,
we're good at this, Clarkie.
Yeah, so neither of you got it right. I've got a feeling I'm going to be saying that a lot this season. Arsenal did get the kickoff. Alexis played it back to Granit Xhaka. He launched the ball forward. 1 minute 35 seconds in, Rob Holding took the ball. He played out to the right, Hector Bellerin. Hector Bellerin took the ball. 1 point, Adrian Clarke.
Yeah, 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal.
How long did it take for Santi to then touch the ball?
Don't know. I actually paused the game after that. And, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get any points.
Oh, but 1-0 is 1-0. Are there bonus points if you actually nail it?
Three points if you get it correct.
Okay.
1 point for the closest.
This
week, Watford away, we're going to go a little bit easier. So we're going to go total corners in the game.
For corners.
So I think Adrian
went first last week, didn't you? Okay, so 1-0 down, backs against the wall here. I'm going to try and wrestle back some form of initiative. I am going to say a grand total of 11 corners.
I think that's a shrewd choice from the boy Hargreaves. I'm going to say that there'll be a couple more than that. I'm going to go for 13 corners.
OK, 11 and 13. So, Legends game's next week, so I'll be back in 2 weeks to give you the results.
What happens if there's 12 corners?
If there's 12, I'll have to think about
maybe a 2-2 draw.
Sudden death. We'll have to go sudden death. There we go. Double or nothing the week after.
Look, yeah, I'm just going to bask in the glory of my lead for now. It might not last.
You're going to be top for a week, guaranteed.
Top for a week. Great stuff, Liam. Thank you very much indeed. Adrian, of course, will be back in the chair alongside Perry Groves from 2:30 p.m. That's this coming Saturday. For all the build-up on Arsenal.com and also on the Arsenal mobile app to that aforementioned Watford game. And if you've got a question for Liam, any suggestions, of course, for our competition, our prediction game, or indeed just a question for the chalkboard in general, the hashtag is Arsenal Weekly. That's full time on this week's show. Our thanks as ever to Olivier Giroud, to Michael McMullen and to Adrian Clarke. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review in the process, then you'll never miss another episode. You can also now find us on Acast. We're back on Monday, the 29th of August, the Bank Holiday Monday. And until then, it's bye for now. And come on, you got us.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.